radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Space is a place that only a human being locates. Where there's so much information to take, there you enter an entirely new place. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Yeah. And a Junior Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up. Alright, we're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griffin, Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out, peace.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Stay tuned, we have some exciting news for you right here as we announce that the Blake Radio Network is moving gradually into more portability. The Music Massage channel has, so that now you can get it on your iPhone as well as your Android smartphones. And in the not too distant future, you'll be able to hear us, Rainbow Soul, and programs like the Cyberspace Sanctuary on your iPhones as well as your Android smartphones. So we are in a new age of mobility and connectivity on a personal level, and this will greatly impact the ability of our listeners to listen more frequently around the clock. You won't be tied to your laptop or your desktop. You can now have connectivity through your smartphones as well as some of the other personal devices such as your notebooks and items like that. So that's the good news. Stay tuned. You'll be hearing the announcement from Neil Blake himself in the not too distant future. We started off the program with our message in the music from the OJs, How Time Flies, and we selected that because today, March 2nd, I attended the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game luncheon, and it was presented by the Wilton Norman Chamberlain Postal Stamp Committee. As some may know, and I'm not taking any of Doc Stanley's thunder, that there is a move to have a United States postal stamp issued to commemorate Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. Now, normally I don't get into sports unless it has some kind of other implications for the greater society, but I went, I was invited. And so we're going to share most of the program. Now, the program was lengthy, it was over 2.5 hours long, so I don't, and that's including the lunch course portion, so I don't want to use up the time with the whole program and all the speakers, but I picked out some of the more lively speakers to give you a feel for who Wilt Chamberlain was, other than an athlete, other than a professional basketball player. Wilt Chamberlain, the philanthropist, Wilt Chamberlain, the friend, Wilt Chamberlain, the buddy, And we'll share that with you following these messages. So don't go anywhere. We got a nice and interesting program for you today. It is the audio of the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game, celebrating the 50th anniversary of that. And, of course, later this evening at the Wells Fargo Center, there will be a game, and they'll be giving away pieces of the floor that was on the Hershey Arena that night. So somewhat interesting, but I wanted to give you a different feel, not just something trivial about an athlete or sports, but someone who transcended sports. You'll hear people talk about just how great a player he was. I mean, we really, a lot of things about Wilt Chamberlain we take for granted. They changed a whole plethora of rules and laws, and it's important to me because I used to be a sports official. I refereed high school and college basketball and soccer, and the key and most telling thing about an athlete is their impact on the game. If they change rules because of him or her, and they definitely did that with Wilt Chamberlain. So, and some of the speakers will talk about that or allude to it, but you'll hear a lot of personal anecdotes from his friends and longtime associates. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
If you are enjoying the programming here on the Blake Radio Network, please log into our website at www.blakeradio.com. Then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up to help keep this venue alive for only 19 cents a day. In order for us to keep bringing you this radio station, we need your support. So log into BlakeRadio.com, then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up for only 19 cents a day to help keep this radio station on the air. Channel 5, Rainbow Soul. Talk radio at its best.
As I said earlier, today's program features the audio from the 50th anniversary commemoration of Wilt Chamberlain's scoring 100 points against the New York Knicks in Hershey, Pennsylvania. The luncheon took place today, March 2nd, at the First District Plaza in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it was sponsored by the Wilton Norman Chamberlain Postal Stamp Committee, and you'll hear on the program Billy Cunningham, a former player, former coach of the 76ers, a basketball executive, also Hall of Fame coach John Chaney from Temple University and also from Cheney State. Both of them are part of the Wilt Chamberlain Memorial Foundation, or the Memorial Fund. You'll hear a welcome by Roger C. Bogle, the invocation by Selena Chamberlain Gross, who is the sister of Wilt Chamberlain. Also, she's married to Claude Gross, an outstanding basketball player in his own right and a personal friend of mine. You'll hear Donald Hunt, who was a sports writer for the Philadelphia Tribune, and he was one of the main people to get the ball rolling for a United States postal stamp to commemorate the occasion of Wilt Chamberlain, his life, and celebrating the scoring of 100 points. You'll hear remarks from politicians like Congressman Robert Brady from the 1st Congressional District in Pennsylvania, State Representative Ronald G. Waters. You'll hear teammates of Wilt's from his high school championship teams at Overbrook High School. Carl Green, a former Harlem Globetrotter, and he will share anecdotes and memories of Wilt. Tom Hoover, a former Knick and Laker player, and also Harvey Pollack, and one of the mother, Mrs. White, who is the mother of one of the scholarship recipients, will stand in for her daughter and read a letter. So we hope you enjoy the program. I hope this gives you some insight into the life of Wilt Chamberlain, the man, the philanthropist, the friend, the buddy that goes beyond what you think you know about him in terms of being an athlete. Hopefully it will give some insight into the real person as opposed to some of the misconceptions and the biases that people had about him. Because, interestingly enough, just sitting at the table, my wife and particularly the sisters, the females, got a different perspective on Wilt after today, because all they remember was some of his exploits, his braggadocious exploits with females and some of the things he said about women. So hopefully this will balance the scale and you'll get a chance to see him in a different light. Stay tuned and enjoy the program.
That's all I'm going to say about that. We have so many wonderful people. But next, I want to introduce a man who truly is in the same category as Will Chamberlain, and that's Coach John Chamberlain, because the thing that I know and I love about the man is what he has done to help others, either his players at Temple, Cheney State, all of these things, and made them better men and given them a wonderful life. Coach John Chamberlain.
Very serious. And, I just can't be serious right now. You know, I was a little bit ambiguous about, you know, doing this, because Wilt was just something very special to me. But I got to get this off my chest. Wilt owes me money.
Rolling it to him.
can you do that? You probably would have scored more than her. They didn't have a point guard. They really didn't. They really didn't. I mean, he was so gifted. Track.
When you think about the contribution that we're making to youngsters,
Let me read out a few. Doris Dobie, in 2005, we gave her $5,000 to her. Leslie John's scholarship was rescinded. Now, we do some good things, but we will take that money back. But if you go down to 2006, Stephanie Walker, $5,000. Carrie McClellan, $5,000. Chin, $1,000. That's when we were attempting to add another person. And we were giving all this money to the women, too. We couldn't find a lot of men at first. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. And we found ourselves bending a little bit more because we wanted to include men. We wanted to encourage young men as well. And then we went on to Vanessa in 2007, $5,000. Joseph Vincent Hill, $5,000. Sharp Braxton in 2008, $8,000. You went up with $8,000? You running out of money? Some of you people can't contribute that. It's going to help us. Close that door. Ryu Rinky, $8,000. Pratima, $8,000. Now, this is just the beginning here. As we go down, we find in 2009, we increased the numbers of 8,000. Nina Rizzo, Alicia Coral, Soleria Brady, Janitha Johnson. That's 8,000 for those four youngsters. Every year at a point of need, we find ourselves increasing the numbers. Then 2010, George Jordan, 8,000. Jocelyn Johnson, 8,000. Michael Tang, 8,000. 2011, we just went out of our mind. Mary Victoria Barr, 8,000. Joseph Bradley Jr., 8,000. Michael Buellage, 8,000. DeAndre Jefferson, 8,000. Colin Kennedy, 8,000. Gabriella Roundenhauer, 8,000. Essence White, 8,000. Now, we did that because of Barbara. Barbara's giving up all that money. But the thing about it is, it also showed that we had increased the numbers where there were hundreds of candidates that we found that we would select and we would bring them in for interviews. And the interview process enabled us to do more. But just imagine eight youngsters increasing from two all the way up to eight. And I can only say to you that it is written that where you start is how you finish. We say that in math. How you start is how you finish. You start out with a strong emphasis on what you believe. And this is strong testimony of what woke means. And this city is not aware of all of the things that this great philanthropist has done for youngsters. A vision that took place many years ago has now come to fruition. And evidence of what it means is you showing up for luncheon today, and we really appreciate you being here.
Great job, John. I'd like to add one other thing. What schools these young people are going to? Yale, Harvard, MIT, Cheney State, Widener, everywhere, Temple. So we have been able to touch approximately 40 children that have been able to go on, better themselves in their lives and touch many people. So, and this is why it's so important with the stamp.
because this will bring more recognition to what the Will Chamberlain Foundation is doing. And hopefully, it'll find other people that will get involved in some capacity. And I want to thank and introduce the chair of the Will Chamberlain Post Stamp Committee, who has worked so hard. The petition signed, he's got 55,000 people have signed the petition for this to occur. And tonight he should be able to get another 10,000 down at the game. I'd like to introduce you. Okay, Roger, come on up, buddy. Roger, go up.
Welcome to the 50th anniversary tribute to the Will Chamberlain Foundation and the game. We're glad you're joining us today. The Wilton Norman Chamberlain Post Stamp Committee has been on a journey for a while, and we wanted you to join us today to recognize this special day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your support. Because of it, we will be able to present $1,500 scholarships to four high schools in West Philadelphia, Bartram, Overbrook, West Catholic, and West Philadelphia. I'd like to say a special word of appreciation to the Postal Stamp Committee. Their names are listed in the book, and I'd like them to stand right now to be acknowledged for their hard work on this project. So everyone please stand as part of the Wilton Chamberlain. I just want everybody to know that there are petitions and sample letters to the United States Postal Assembly on your tables. Please ask your family and friends to join us and mail letters to the United States Postal Stamp Commission and sign a petition. Again, thank you and welcome, and enjoy your day. And we are under consideration for the stamp, so it's just a matter of time when the stamp will be issued. So just pray and hope you can get it within 2013. Thank you. Have a great day.
Job, Roger. I'd also like to introduce the co-chair for this occasion, Donald Hunt, who's the award-winning sports journalist from the Philadelphia Tribune. Co-chair.
Okay, well, it's really nice seeing everybody here. I'm glad you can make it out to the luncheon. It's a very important occasion. Recognize and will. That fabulous game, 100 points, and it's really phenomenal. But what's really good is the fact that, you know, as a sports writer, I read a lot online, I read a lot of newspapers. It's great that Will is getting the attention for this tremendous game that he had in 1962, because I think the key word is deserving. And he deserves all the recognition, not only from that game, but also for his career, which was nothing short of fantastic. So, with that being said, that's one of the reasons why I wrote the column on him being included in the United States Postal Stamp, because I thought that a lot of the young people, and I think Coach touched on this a little bit as well, can learn about Will and can learn about his legacy. I think people know about it, they're young, but with the stamp coming out with the 100-point sign and with all his biographical information, his achievements, his accomplishments over the years, would be really phenomenal. The other thing, I just thought it would be really good for a lot of his family, a lot of his friends, a lot of his colleagues that have supported Will and followed Will's career over the years. So you have petitions here. There's information available. I'm available. You can reach me at the Tribune. You can reach me here after the luncheon or whatever. But we really appreciate all the support that we've gotten thus far. But we're looking forward to some continued support. And we're hoping that it will be in 2013. We want it here sooner rather than later. Thank you very much.
And now I'd like to ask Will's sister, Selena Chamberlain Rose, to please come up for the invocation.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm glad to have the invocation after John spoke, because I know I had a pray hard. Let us pray. Our most loving and merciful Father, we come today just to thank you for allowing us another day. For this is the day that you have made, and we ought to be glad and rejoice in it. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, yes, to remember our brother for all his good deeds and all his accomplishments, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for those who have taken their time to put this event on. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we thank you, Lord, for all those who are gathered here. Please, Lord, protect them, their families, and their loved ones. And as you remember Wilt, let's not forget the Creator, who created him and all of us, heaven and earth, and those that dwell within. Again, I want to say, God bless you all, and all those who are willing to say amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I need to bless the food. And I know you're hungry because they talk too long. I remember the day they were starving and what did they eat. So let's bless the food. Our most gracious Lord, we thank you for this food from which we're about to receive. Bless those hands that prepared it to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please don't all rest. The tables will be called. Okay? Six.
Oh, wow.
Next, I'd like to ask a couple of our local politicians who've been very involved and proponents of the stamp project, the Chamberlain. I'd like to introduce a few words to Congressman Robert Brady.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I know I'm between you and lunch, so I'm going to be extremely brief. I'm just going to take you back to the year 1963. I was a young kid from Oakville Park. I used to go up to Tuscan Playground, right across from North 59th Street, and watch the ball players play, street ball, schoolyard ball. Will Chamberlain was there, Wally Jones, Hightower. And I used to watch, and they had nine guys. They said, kid, Will Chamberlain called me, you want to run? Absolutely. I got the ball, took it out, took two dribbles, passed it off to Wally Jones, passed it to me, I passed it to Will Chamberlain. Guy Rogers came, I was gone. I passed the ball to Will Chamberlain. So that was one of the highlights of my young career as a basketball player, the end of it, by the way. But it was my pleasure when I was contacted by my dear friend Lucky Birch, who knows Will real well, that I had the honor of introducing House Con Resolution 71. Now, let's read you real quick. It's a concurrent resolution to express to the Central Congress that the United States Postal Service should issue a commemorative postage stamp honoring Will Chamberlain, and that the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee shall recommend to the Postmaster General that such a stamp be issued. Too long, should have done it a long time ago. I'm going to push as hard as I can to get this done. It will get it done. It will happen. I have copies of this bill, put it out there. I do appreciate it, do need all the support of the committee. Sign the petitions, let me go down to Washington. It's a pretty tough place down there, you know. It'll be fun and classy and sexy, no longer, no more. All we do is fight, but I don't mind fighting with the petitions on my arm, and I will do it. And we will get this done because it's well deserved. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, Donna. We really appreciate all your work. Next, I'd like to introduce State Representative Waters. Wants to come up and say a few words as well. Thank you so much for your involvement, too. Good afternoon. I am indeed proud to be here on this stage, on this podium, and to have two other legendary people in the NBA sports career. And definitely Coach Cunningham and all the great stuff that he has done over the years in the NBA. And that's right. John Chaney, who we talked about Will Chamberlain being a role model. I can't help but to say the same thing holds true for John Chaney. And he has done so much
he turned out some really great men, not just basketball players, but great men out of Temple University. And I watched them in there. They're winning now too, Coach. I want you to know they've been doing. They're winning more. They win a lot of games. But in the coincidence here, I went to Overbrook, where Will Chamberlain went to, and I feel real honored when I went there. He was there before me, but just to know that someone of that legendary character walked those same halls that I was in, same halls. And then, but before I went to Overbrook, I went to Sayre Junior High School. Now let me tell you about who was at Sayre Junior High School and was in the sports at Sayre. John Chaney. Now, I want to tell you something. When it comes down to the days, the way these children act in school now, nothing like that was happening at Sayre when the time when John Chaney was there. Because you want to talk about being tough? He was tough, but it was really tough love that he gave. And I appreciate the fact that he was there, because even if I wanted to act up, just to know that John Chaney was inside that building and I might see him with the fear of God in my heart. So I just want to say, John, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I know you were saying Barbara owe you some money. I owe you a lot too. Of course, I owe you a lot too, because you did tremendous things in my life, and the things that you did still hold true in my character development today. But I just want to say that I have a citation from the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, which I won't read. And I have a citation from the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. I am the chair of the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. I have two citations here, and I want to give both of them to the family of the great, nobody will ever break that record. Not only the 100-point game, but the way he played in college and the way he won the MVP again and again and again, and the character, the dignity in which he carried out his life and his legacy. Thank you so much for allowing me to stand on the stage and speak to you today. Thank you.
But before we go for lunch, I'd like everybody to just take a moment and let's say a little prayer for the loss of the Chaney family, that our hearts are with them. And thank you, please. Thank you very much. It's time for lunch, everybody.
I don't know. It's a gray suit.
Everybody calls us their basketball player.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
Hey.
Head Start, 200 or 300 of those kids. And
Mississippi had given up all this money to make all of these challenges work. And what I'm trying to say to you is that the effect is still ongoing. Every time one of those little kids grow up, they got to think about the fact that he made a difference in my life. And I wanted to tell you the magnitude of that is astronomical. You can't get beyond it when you look at it. But that was one more that I wanted to mention because I think it really had so many that he couldn't mention that one. But that's one that we had to mention. And I sat around the table, they were talking about what they were going to do and all these things they were touching. I stood up and I said, I got a headache. And every time I get in trouble, I would always say, I got my mama calling me. And I left. So, you know what I was just saying? I got my mama, we've got to get out of here. I can't handle all of that. But that's the magnitude. Now, let me tell you about something else that I missed telling you in the beginning. A lady, young lady asked me, what did I think? What made it so great in basketball? I remember they only had a few teams. They used to play, when he scored 50 points a game, they played Boston 14 damn times. And Russell, who's considered a better defensive player, he scored 50 points a game. You got a lot of guys in the basketball players. You know how hard it is to score. 50 points a game in the NBA. 50 points a game. 14 times. So now, when you say Russell is great defensively, what do you want him to say when you talk about the man who scored 50 points a game? Like that?
Yeah. And by the way, Sister Mary Scullion also has her drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and plus the contribution that the Chamberlain Foundation made to the auditorium is the most used thing at the Honickman Center up in North Philadelphia. So it's just fantastic. But moving on. I would like to acknowledge a couple of the sponsors that we've had that have helped make this happen. That's Independence Blue Cross, the Two Guards, the Brown Family ShopRite, and the NBA. What I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce all the members of the board of the Will Chamberlain Foundation. There's not many. A few are not here. One has passed away. And that was Vince Phillip, who's a very important part, one of Wilt's dearest friends. Sonny Hill is not with us today. Also, we have Zelda Spolster, Sonny Hill, Steve Cozen could not make it today. He was out of town, and he sends his regards. He was so instrumental in the whole thing. Of course, John Chaney, and truly the person that leads the whole thing. And as you can hear from John's voice, the dictator, Barbara Lewis. But before we go any further, we have something a little special. Where's Barbara Thomas? You've got something for me. She's on her way. Well, okay, but we have something special for somebody today. Somebody that's been the driving force behind all of this, who makes all the final decisions. Someone that has become one of my dearest friends. Can you come up here for a second, Barbara Lewis?
their sisters who have just, you know, been so great to them. Please. And the poor man that tried to live with our elsies, I mean, you're a saint, buddy.
He's
coming up just on a weekly basis. But, okay, go ahead.
Donald Hunt and Roger Boone, I'm going to send you one of my favorite pictures of a guy in Kansas, a young guy, one of the students when he first got at Kansas, took this picture. And they sent it to me about 10 years ago. I think it's one of my favorite pictures. They really play a guy, but they sent it. It's an elongated picture. It's just better. It's walking down the hall. And it was my favorite picture. I thought, oh. Anyway, I see it here, and I'm like, I'm going to tell you guys who used that picture. This is my favorite. And so that means you have it now in your archives. But now I got it. That's even better than what it was. Thank you so much.
That's nice.
Now we're going to move along quickly. We have some people who would like to say a few words, share a few seconds, a few thoughts about their experiences with Wilt, the impact he had. And he had on the city, themselves, and so on. The first person I'd like to introduce, I'm not sure if he's a specific word or said, but who is a teammate of Wilt's in high school, and he wanted to say a few words on behalf of the teammates of all the guys at Holy Cross High School at that time.
Hey.
I wasn't sure if he was going to say something or if it was going to be Alan Weinberg.
I guess by now you know I'm not Jim Sadler. It's truly an honor for me to be here for this luncheon to honor the achievements of Will and also the man. I was fortunate enough to be on two of Will's championship teams. Our 1954 team was picked by the Daily News as the best team, high school team ever to play in Philadelphia. I met Jim Sadler and Doug Lehman, two of my teammates, to stand up. Jim still complains that Will took half of his shots and Will got credit for the shots. One other thing, because of Will, my wife can say to anybody she ever talks to that her husband is in the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. I'm there because our team picture is there.
Okay.
Over here, I'm going to thank him. Bottom of my heart. Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to add another charity that Wilt was very involved with. It. That was Project Smile, Operation Smile, excuse me, that Wilt got involved with way back in the early 80s. That goes around to, in most cases, the third world countries where children that have deformities in their face or whatever. And Wilt gave millions of dollars to this project to transport doctors, nurses, etc., to help give these people a normal life, or as normal as possible. The next person we'd like to have come up and say a few words in regards to Wilt is a good friend of mine, and I know a close friend of Wilt's from his old Wilt Charter days, a guy who lives in New York City, Carl Green.
I'm not a technical speaker. I'm just going to say what I really feel. I first met Willie King in New York. I think he left college. He came to New York to play with Calvin Ramsey. So we brought him into a park where all the best players played. You know, the Rims played there. You know, we played there. It was my time then. You know, I was like, me and my friend Jackson Farris, we were the guys, and the guys behind us. So we were playing, the ball went out of bounds, and Will stepped out of bounds and took it out of bounds like it was his ball. And I said, hey, retrieve me. He said, my ball. I said, man, you better carry that back to Philadelphia. Next time I saw Will was in Atlantic City. I walked down the street. I said, hey. He looked at me and turned his head. And he said, no. Next time I saw Will was with the ball truck. He got on the bus. He saw me on the bus. He didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing. 2 weeks, he didn't see. He saw the respect that people had for me on the bus, the players. So they, you know, they would play with you or whatever, but they had respect for me. So he said, he's moving, man. He said, why don't we hang out together? I said, okay. So we started hanging out together. We got close, real close. And season was over. Came to New York and called me and said, man, you ready to buy a club? I said, a club? What? Small. He said, why don't you come by? I said, okay. So I went by the club. He told me he was buying the club. I said, damn, you got buying the club. I shook my head, you know. He bought the club, and we started moving around New York, because I knew New York very well, you know. I got it from the Rims. They raised me and Jackie Farris. And they taught us what it was to be a man, stand up. You know, don't take nothing from nobody, because they had to travel the world, not the world, the country. Mm-hmm. Playing with black players in those days, man, you know, a black team. And they stuck together, back to back, they said, you know. They threw things at them, and they just the town. And they stuck together. So, me and my man Jack, we've been together since we've been 14, we've always stuck together.
Carl.
And we took him in, and we started traveling to New York. And we started going downtown to clubs with Black New York. He walked in, me and him. I seen him make, I seen him do so many things. People are supposed to be big. Nobody was bigger than him. He was smart. His mother and father did a heck of a job with the kids. I mean, 11 of them. And when I met them, they treated me like I was their friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wilton and I got along. We had a couple of arguments. And tried to send me somewhere. Tell us, I said, man, you gotta be a kid. There was nowhere else for nobody. And at the end, he realized that to me, the stars is in the sky. And I don't know nothing about the stars. I'm a basketball player. I don't care about who's the best man. I'm gonna be the best I can, you know. And I know he was good, and he was smart. I was getting ready to buy a building, a couple of buildings, small buildings. And I told him about it. He said, how much you putting in? And I told him, you know what? They're coming down with me. I said, okay. I went with him. We bought this building, 30 families. And, I mean, the things that I learned, and I'm older than Will, the things that I learned from Will, you know, and his family, man, they treated his mother and father, man, they treated me like I was there, you know what I mean? My mother was the same way. He met my mother, and my mother told me that don't do nothing to nobody you don't want done to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't let nobody be nicer to you than you are to them. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I live, and that's the way Will and I carried our friendship. And he put a little note in a book he wrote. Talked about his family, talked about all kinds of things. He let his mind go. And at the end of the book, he put, when I want the truth, I go to my man Lois in New York. And I say, Bob, he said, why didn't you say Carl? You know? He said, man, that's for me and Carl. I don't really know what else to feel about him. I love him. He's a heck of a dude. And I miss him.
I thought you said, Carl, you couldn't speak.
That was bad. He didn't play with them. He came along later.
That was great, buddy. That was great. And another guy that played in the NBA, played with Wilt, knew him, the Villanova guy, who wants to say a few words, Tom Hoover.
So, boy, really,
the big fella. Beautiful person. I guess I can pick it up from high school. We had this high school, college, and pro. Philadelphia versus New York. And I had just come from Washington, D.C., where I played with a couple of notable people. John Thompson, who coached Georgetown, and Buck Malloy, who later became the president of Notre Dame University, William Bennett, treasury secretary. So I thought I was a tough guy. I thought I was a good guy. We were playing in the game. We were getting beat. They had Jackie Jackson, Connie Hawkins, Bizarre. They had a real good ball club. And Will came over to me and said, "What's wrong with you, boy?" And I turned to the, I heard it in the back, but I didn't know. And I turned around and looked, and it was him. I said, "Wow, Will's talking to me." "Get your ass out here, boy." And I looked at him, and he looked at me and said, "Go right out there. And don't be afraid." I said, "Wow, okay." Long story short, turned it around, won the game. We developed a friendship. He was playing with the Warriors. I was at Villanova University. I could come to the games, he could drive me back in that purple Cadillac convertible. If any of you ever rode with him, and you know, it's 45 minutes back to the main line. I was in my room in 15 minutes from downtown Philadelphia. We hung out a lot. The man. We played after he bought the walls. We would be at an apartment in Park West Village. We would play Dirty Heart. Carl, myself, Dip, Lou Alcindor, Calvin on the chain on occasion. And whenever he lost, it was a fight, because he didn't want to play for a quart of water. You had to drink the water if you lost. He wasn't drinking it, we poured it on him. I mean, this is good memories, real good memories. John mentioned the fact that he was going to fight Ali. I remember he came, we were somewhere in the club, I think, in the back of the club, where we used to sit in the back of Smalls all the time and just talk. And he said, "I'm going to fight Muhammad Ali." I said, "Yeah, man, that's a good idea." I'm thinking, we're going to make money. So I went down. Ali was fighting, or training for Zorro Foley in the old garden. And they were training underneath in the garden. And I said, "I'm going to go down there and watch. And I'll come back and report to you and tell you what happened." So Ali was in the ring dancing, shadow boxing. I see you. And them spies, Will Chamberlain spies. "I see you over there." He came out the ring. He must have thrown, I don't know, 12 jabs this close to my face. I went back uptown. We were sitting in the club, in the apartment. I said, "Hey, big fella, you can make this fight.
we can get some money, but he's going to beat your ass.
Who you don't know, you know I said, he's going to beat your ass. Just like we've been playing basketball all our life, we've been boxing all our life. Believe me, when I tell you. Good guy. I mean, just nothing but fond memories. We used to, he had this tendency. He would be in the club, Smalls I'm talking about, Saturday, and there was always a breakfast show down at Club Hollow. He started at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, if anybody knows, it takes you 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. No, 4 hours to get from New York to Atlantic City. 3.5 hours. Well, I remember, you know, King Curtis was on the stand. I would be sitting in the corner. He'd look at me and say, come on, we're going. I said, wait a minute, I need a couple of drinks first. He would close the bar at 4 o'clock. We'd be in Atlantic City for the breakfast show at 6 o'clock in the morning from New York City. He's a good man. A humanitarian. He helped everybody. Like Carl said, he respected you if you respected yourself. There were a lot of guys we have seen around him. It didn't last long because it was always they had the hand out. And he knew that. And we would say, Carl, don't worry about it. Then you wouldn't see him. There's a foundation in New York City that we, Jack, I, and Carl are all part of, the Our Children Foundation. He's done some wonderful things for us, Barbara. Thank you. Speaking of Barbara, they called her, and Billy called her the dictator. That's true. Dippy took me to the house. She looked at me and said, Tom, who? I know you. Oh, ma'am, you don't know. What you call me, ma'am? I don't know. Don't you marry that girl. I couldn't marry her because Elsie already had her. So, in 5 years, 10 years, I guess we were out the house. Because she looked at me and said, I told you so, didn't I? I said, yeah, you told me. But Dip bought the apartment for his family out in L.A. We would always go there and eat. They treated us like family. Like I was part of the family. He is sorely missed. Believe me. I'm going to leave you with one last story. He called me up one day and said, we're going to do a commercial. We were talking about this on the car coming down. And we did this commercial. He got us involved in the commercial. For Easy Spirit Shoes. We played basketball all day, 2 days? 2 days. Yeah. Oh, 6 days. That's right, it was 6 days. 6 days in these shoes to show how easy it was and how. By the time we got out of that commercial, we were all through. He is sorely missed. I love him. I miss him. And as a part of the Legends Foundation, retired NBA players, we're going to try everything that we can. Mike, I'm telling you too, to try and get this stamp done. Everything that we possibly can. Thank you for your time.
The only problem is I got introduced to this next guy and he's really a pain in the butt, but what the heck, we'll get him up here and get him out of here. He was one of the few people that were there at Hershey, Pennsylvania when this all occurred.
the guy that gave him the paper saying 100 times okay. He's been connected to the 76ers since the inception. He's written more books about statistics, etc. Army Powell. He scored more points than anyone in history. Anyway, but also, next Friday, Bobby Pollock will be 90 years old.
Well, you know that I'm known as a mathematician, so I'm going to give you a lot of numbers, including that sign which I wrote, you know, when he broke out the 100 points. But there's a history for that. When I was in the first, second, and third grade, I flunked penmanship. And when I came home and told my wife about this sign, she saw it. She said, "It's the best I ever saw you write." Now, the night of the game, I was doing five jobs. I covered the game for the Inquirer, the United Press, the Associated Press. I was the PR director of the Warriors, and I was the game statistician. Otherwise, I had nothing to do. Started out, went down there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That we were early for the game, which was late. And Wilt and all the players were in the arcade in the building. And Wilt was challenging everybody. So the first guy he did go with my 24-second clock operator, he said, "Let's shoot clay pigeons." I said, "The one with the most wins." So Wilt went to the, got the gun, started shooting, got 100, a perfect score. So my guy said, "Well, no use to be trying anymore. I can't beat you." And he says, "But you can tie me." He said, "So I said, better than you can bet on the world than that." So he took his first shot, he missed. That ended that. And then Will went to the other part of the room. I don't think he collected, whatever he bet the guy was a minimum amount. I don't think Will ever took the money from him. But he took money from the other players. He went to the other players, they all these pinball machines. And Will challenged everyone to every different machine. And with them all, everyone, even the first time he saw the game, figured out how to do it. So that should have been a clue to me, before this game was played, that this was going to be a big night for Wilt Chamberlain. And it turned out to be. It was a big night for me also. And I can give you all the numbers wait a minute, I forgot to tell you. I am the anonymous writer of everything that Wilt ever wrote. He called me on the telephone every time he was writing a book or was going to be interviewed by some famous writer. He wanted all the facts, all the numbers. And he gave me tips on how that Michael Jordan couldn't do this, and this guy couldn't do that. And I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Don't you watch the games?" I said, "I just watch them casually when you're not playing." "Well, you watch it." And everything he said was about those guys was perfect on the nose. But anyway, some of you have never seen it, but I put a book out every year called NBA Statistical Yearbook. And we have so much material in that book about Wilt Chamberlain. Barbara just bore me out that instead of a copy this year, which I will remedy this afternoon. But we, in part of that book, there's a breakdown of every game that Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell ever played against each other. And there's no comparison of who was the greater player. Wilt was so far ahead of him in points, only in the games against each other, and so far ahead of him in rebounds. The only thing that Russell was headed is the championship. But remember, Russell had 15 players who eventually went into the Hall of Fame. I think Will had two over teammates. So anyway, but he's done 100 points. There's only one of the things that I saw. I saw him get 55 rebounds in a game, and against Russell. There's another story too long to tell here, but he embarrassed Russell about that. And I was in the room with Wilt Chamberlain, Julius Erving, George Mikan, and Russell. And the story, my biggest regret today is I didn't have a tape recorder to get all those stories in out there. But at the 55 years, I was there when he had the triple double double. Nobody's ever going to even match that. It's 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 20 assists the same game. He's the only center in the league ever to lead the league in assists. Yes. Wow. He was. There's so many things they did against Wilt. The worst one of them all was that they didn't allow block shots as an official NBA statistic until a year after Wilt retired. So when he retired, incidentally, the NBA guide had him listed for 128 different records. I read an article the other day. Somebody counted them today. 98 is still there. Remember, he hasn't played for 37, 38 years. So those records are there. So anyway, he is by far, and the last week, I must have been on a zillion radio stations, TV stations, personal interviews. I have another one. I got to get out of here at 3 o'clock. He has ESPN has called me up at 3 o'clock, so I have to leave. Anyway, he was my final saying is that there was no comparison. There never was a greater player than Wilt Chamberlain.
What a real quick story. I remember when Wilt fired Harvey. Because Wilt didn't think he was giving the right numbers on his rebound. So he got Vince Miller to do it. Right? So the stat sheet comes in, and Vince Miller comes in, Lord rest his soul, and said, I have you for this amount of rebounds. Well, he had him for two less than Harvey did. He said, get out of here, Vince. He fired Vince. Oh, my goodness. Mrs. White, would you like to say a couple words about your daughter and being the recipient of one of the scholarships of the Chamberlain Foundation? Please, join us.
Wanted to say she was very sorry that she couldn't be here today, but she did send something. Hello, my name is Essence White, and I am an engineering major at Smith College. Went into high school, always knew that going to college was a goal that I wanted to achieve. From a young age, I had a big dream of becoming successful and a role model not only to my eight younger nieces and nephews, but also to my community. I have experienced the struggles of life, counting on the next paycheck and routinely praying to God to make a way. I realized, though, in order to stop this ongoing trait, I had to exceed the minimum and strive for the world. However, I come from a family background where things haven't been so promising, and strive to work. The world hasn't always been as so fear and reach. There has been many negative obstacles that I had to overcome throughout my life that could have simply beaten me down the wrong road. However, if it wasn't for God and people like my mom, mentoring family, church family, people who support me, like the Wilt Chamberlain Foundation, I wouldn't be here today. Even with over exceeding the expectations of school and getting as involved as I could, attending college was still such a far reach. Because I knew that there was no way that my family could afford for me to attend, no matter how much they knew I deserved to be there. So even in my absence today, I give great thanks to the Wilt Chamberlain Foundation, because without your support, I wouldn't be able to attend Smith College. I have worked all my life to be in this position, the chance to succeed.
No matter how much I try to find her, there are none that truly shows my gratefulness. I owe Will Chamberlain and Foundation and all those who made it possible for me to receive this scholarship so much, because I truly wouldn't be here without their dedication, generosity, and support. After I graduated from Smith as an engineer, I plan to go to continue my education to receive my MBA and enter into engineering corporate Burkeville. Again, I am sorry for my absence that I couldn't be here myself to speak to you all, but let this be a minimum representation of my dear appreciation of the Will Chamberlain Foundation and their continuing support. My desires are that one day I can give back to students like me and support them just as Will Chamberlain Foundation has supported me. Thank you.
It's wonderful. What a wonderful day. I was asked to read this note. In the house today are four former teammates of Will Chamberlain's from the 1954 city championship team. This team was voted by the Daily News in 1996 as the best ever to have played in the Philadelphia area. In 2004, this team was voted into the Overbrook Hall of Fame. The team picture is also displayed in the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Four teammates are here: Jim Settler, Alan Weinberg, Doug Lehman, Marty Hughes are in the house. Also, we'd like to remember the deceased from that team. Of course, Will Chamberlain, Vince Miller, Howard Johnson, David Henry Hand, and Ed Boykin. Just keep them in our memories. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you on behalf of John Chaney and myself for allowing us to host this afternoon. It was just a special time. It was a special moment. Just great memories, great thoughts that everyone brought up here. To think about someone that we all love and care about deeply, and keep it going. You got tonight at the Sixer game, where they're going to honor him and give away the portion to the floor from the Hershey Arena. So, thank you and God bless you all.
They give you two inch of the floor that they played on that night.
Cyber Safe is a place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates. No denomination, faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.